So now we'll go to the point of dharma. What is dharma? We'll talk about that. Verse number 31. Swadharmamapi chaveksya. Na vikampitum arhasi. Dharmyadi yuddha shreyonyat. Kshatriyasya na vidyate. So, swadharma. Swadharma means what is your duty or what is my duty. Swa means me, dharma means what is my duty. So, you, Arjuna, you should look what is your duty. Cha avekshya, having seen. Vekshya means having seen what is your dharma, what is your duty. Na vikampitum arhasi. Vikampa, vikampana is a very beautiful word. That's from Hindi. That's why they say kap kapi. You know, I'm feeling very cold or shivering. So vikampit means do not waver. Arhasi again comes. You should not. It's not worthy of you. You are better than this. You know, sometimes we tell people or somebody we tell somebody, you know, you belong to this great family. You know, your father was this, your grandfather was this, and look how you are behaving. It's not worthy of you. You know, same way he's telling Arjuna, you belong to this noble family of the Bharata dynasty who have had great kings and great saints and wonderful people have been your ancestors. So you should not behave like that when he calls him Bharata. He says, na vikampitum arhasi. Even looking at your duty, your dharma, you should not waver. Why? Dharmyadi yuddhat. So dharma yuddha. So this is a war for dharma, war for goodness, war which has the right motive. Yuddhat, better than a dharma yuddha, shreya. Shreya means what is good. Shreya is a beautiful word which means not only what is good for me, but what is good for all. What is good for me, what is good for my family, and what is good for society. A lot of times we do things that are good for me, but it's harmful to my family or it is harmful to society because I'm taking from society what I don't deserve or cheating others. So what is Shreya means what is good for all. Because Arjuna, in the second chapter earlier, he said in this, I think, sixth or seventh verse, Yat Shreya Nishchitam Bruhi Tanme. Please tell me what is Shreya for me. So here Krishna is telling, I'm telling you what is good for you because better than a dharma yuddha, the war for dharma, anyata, other than this, kshatriyasya na vidyate, for a kshatriya, for a warrior, there is no better duty to perform than to fight a righteous war. And we'll talk in detail about in this verse about dharma. So let us say, so what it says, that knowing your duty as a kshatriya, there is no better action for you to perform than this righteous war. So you should not waver. So let us see now the word dharma. I have talked about it before, but I'll just briefly address this word dharma. If you look in the Sanskrit dictionary, English to Sanskrit, the word dharma has two or three lines of meanings. Almost a whole page of meanings you will see on dharma. And then at the end they will say etc., etc., etc. That means there are so many meanings. So there are a few major meanings I will cover. One is religion, like Hindu dharma, you know, Islam dharma, Isai dharma. So Hindu religion or Muslim or Christian. But in the Bhagavad Gita, nowhere this meaning of dharma is used, being religion. That came later on. When that use of dharma came later on. In Gita, he does not talk about religion, that it is a Hindu faith or a Islam or a Christian. Then other meaning of dharma is duty. What is my duty? So they say, like, what is the duty of a student? So vidyarthi dharma. Then grahastha dharma. What is the duty of a householder? A student's duty is to study. Householder is to take care of their family. Then take care of my older parents. Take care of my children. Take care of society, make sure I contribute to society, take care of sannyasis, take care of spiritual institutions. That is also part of our dharma. Churches and temples and spiritual institutions must be maintained, because it is the householder who is the backbone of society, who supports everything, supports his older parents, supports his younger children, supports society, supports spiritual organizations, religious churches and all. So that is my duty. And then as I become older, then vanaprastha dharma, as I am now past retirement, slowly start withdrawing. I don't need to interfere in my kids and grandkids. Let them live their life. I have given them a good education, taught them the values. Daily interfering, calling every day and telling you should do this, you should not do this, interfering in grandkids. No, when they ask for advice, give it. When you have a chance to visit, visit, but stop interfering in worldly affairs and spend more time in thinking about God rather than, you know, this one is having problem and my grandson is not doing good in school. I mean, you have done the best you can. You brought him up and you've given the values to your children. Now let them deal with. If I can help, I do. If I can take care of them or babysit or help. But otherwise, extra time, think about God. Meditate, pray, read, you know, visit, go on pilgrimages. And then later on, sannyas means then I'm totally detached. So dharma is duty. Dharma also which supports. Dharayate iti dharma. What supports society is dharma. When people are living a dharmic life, that is how society is supported. If everybody starts becoming, you know, corrupt, becoming violent, becoming confrontational, taking what they don't deserve, stealing, society will become a jungle, actually worse than a jungle. You know, people will just steal. And that we see when too much materialism is there, that's what happens. So what supports society, what maintains society is dharma or righteousness. Then dharma also means righteousness, what doing what is right. Dharma and adharma. Actually, today's the message from the Bhagavad Gita for the children talks about that. Dharma and adharma. So dharma is righteousness, adharma is unrighteousness. So living a life of righteousness, which is prescribed by the scriptures, is dharma. And then the last meaning that we will cover today is the law of being. What do we mean by law of being? That means, say, what is the dharma of fire? Is to give heat and light. So if you have a fire in the fireplace, it should give you heat and light. But nowadays we have these artificial fires where they have this gas burning. It looks like a fire, but neither gives you heat nor gives you light. It just... So then it's not doing the dharma. That's not truly a fire. Or sugar. What is the dharma of sugar? Sweetness. If it is sweet, then you say it's sugar. But in India, you get this alum, this patkadi, you know, that our grandparents used for shaving. It is an antiseptic. It looks like sugar, you know, like raw sugar, has the same color, same appearance. But when you bite, it tastes very bitter. So even though it looks like sugar, it is not sugar. Now, sugar could be different. It could be in granules, could be in powder, could be in brown, could be white, could be in a big clumps. But as long as it is sweet, it is sugar. So the dharma of sugar is sweetness. So similarly, what is my dharma? What is my law of being? I am that eternal self. And anytime I go away from that understanding of that I am that supreme being, I am that individual, I am going away from my dharma. And anytime I commit acts that take me away from my divinity, because we are all divine beings. So when I do an action that is illegal, immoral, then that is going away from my dharma. And what was the kshatriya dharma? So dharma means what I should do and what is suitable for my state. That, say I'm a student, what is my dharma? So what is the right thing for do? And same thing for us, when we take care of children, we have to see how they are inclined, what is their inclination, and what is their child's dharma. So what means, what does he or she good at, and put him in that. And that is very important, so that instead of Suppose a child is an artist, he likes art, but then the father forcibly puts him in you know, business. Okay, you come to my shop and start doing, and he likes to paint or he likes to sing, and you put him in the cashier counter, he will be unhappy. You know, he will work there, but he will be miserable. Even there, he'll start singing, and he won't do a good job. Talking about finding out, so there was this priest. Did I tell you the story about the preacher and his teenage son? No, I told it in the Thursday class, so it's a good story. So this preacher had this teenage son who was in senior and not interested. You ask him, what do you want to do? I don't know. Do you want to go to college? I don't know. Do you want to go to trade school? I don't know. Anything. He had no interest at all. He hardly studied, just barely went to school. And father was very worried. He was a preacher. He said, look, you should do better. Never listened. So one day preacher said, I'm going to see what he likes, you know, find out his interest. So when the kid is coming home from school, on his table, he puts four things. He puts a Bible, he puts a silver dollar, he puts a bottle of whiskey and a Playboy, center Playboy. He says, if he picks up the Bible, then he will be a preacher like me. And that's very good. If he picks up the silver dollar, that's also good. That means he'll become a businessman. If he picks up the whiskey, he'll be a drunkard. And if he picks up the Playboy, God help him. You know, he will be just chasing women all his life. And I hope he doesn't pick that. Let's see which one he likes. So he puts all four. And so the boy comes home from school. He throws his shoes here and bag here, as he always did. Never put anything away. And he's sitting on his chair. And on the table, suddenly he sees these four objects. So he looks at the Bible. He puts it under his armpit. The silver dollar he puts in his pocket. The whiskey, he has a big glob of whiskey. And the Playboy, he opens and starts looking at the centerfold. So the father is watching secretly. He says he picked up the Bible and the silver dollar and the alcohol and the Playboy. Wow, he will be the next president of the U.S. So we need to know what is our dharma, what is our duty. So Arjuna, you are a kshatriya. Now what is a kshatriya? Kshatriya is a warrior. So warrior does not mean that you go around fighting or killing people. A warrior's duty is to defend the country and stand for righteousness. If somebody is suffering and somebody is being mistreated, Arjuna was like that. If anybody was being, all the Pandavas were, if that story about where they were at somebody's house and the mother's son was supposed to go every day. I think we have heard that story. They were living in this lady's house, and in that village there was a demon, and every day he would come and kill a lot of people, eat them up. So they said, we won't do that. If they went and talked to him, they said, we'll send one person every day from the village. And that person you can eat and leave the rest of us. That way at least one person a day, instead of you come and just slaughter, you know, wholesale. So the Pandavas were, so it so happened when they were wandering through the forest for 12 years, they happened to stay at that lady's house. And she was very worried and she was crying. But she fed them and took care of them. And she said, why are you crying? She said, my son has been picked and today he has to go and meet that demon and he will be killed. So Kunti says, don't worry, I'll send my son Bhima. They said, you'll sacrifice your son, that demon is huge. My son is tough. And so not only he was, the person was supposed to go to be sacrificed, was supposed to take food. So large amount of food they used to send with a cart. And so Bhima was pushing the cart and took all that food. And the demon would first eat the food and then eat the person who brought the food, kill him. So Bhima went there and he started eating the food. Bhima had a big appetite. That was Arjuna's older brother. And he started eating and the demon comes and he gets so angry. He says, you are eating my food? How dare you do that? And of course then Bhima says, you know, and then they have a fight and Bhima was so powerful, he killed him. So the point was that all these Pandava brothers, wherever there was injustice, they would always stand for the right. So he says, your duty is to stand for justice. And how is it that you are giving up your duty when right now the people who are standing in front of you are criminals, they are crooks. In fact, Arjuna himself calls them Atatai. Atatai means criminals. They are crooks. They are dishonest. They have been cheating the country for so many years. They have cheated you out of your kingdom. They have always lied. They have tried to kill you. And you are feeling sorry for them. This is the opportunity to get rid of them, because the country will be better off not having such king, such ruler. Just as sometimes if there is the king or the prime minister or the president is corrupt and dishonest, country is better off if such a person is deposed or removed from power. So you have an opportunity to perform your duty as a kshatriya, and you are falling from that. And talking about dharma, they say there are two kinds of dharma, samanya dharma and vishesha dharma. So samanya dharma is what is my regular duty, and vishesha is what is my special duty. So there are some regular duties and there are some special duties. For example, in the family, you divide the work, husband's work, wife's work, children's work. But say children, the wife goes for 2 weeks on a business trip, then the husband has to do both roles. So normally he does his part, but now wife is gone for 2 weeks. So what is his vishesh dharma? He has to get up in the morning, make sure that he makes the kids breakfast, you know, packs their bag, packs their lunch, takes them to school, drops them off, and then in the evening takes them to activities. So his normal dharma, then there is vishesh dharma. Or for example, there is plenty of water. Then what is samanya dharma? Okay, you water your lawn, you can have, you know, lengthy showers. But when there is a drought, as we have been going through, then there is a vishesh dharma. No, I should not waste water, I should take less showers, I should, you know. So samanya dharma and vishesha dharma. So again, in case of, as we said, in the family or to India, suppose I go every 2 years, that is my samanya dharma. I go to visit my parents, but then suddenly one parent gets sick or there is a major tragedy or a death in the family, then I have to rush. I have to cancel all my appointments and go within 2-3 days. Then that becomes vishesh dharma. Or there is terrorism. Everything is going fine. Law and order is maintained. No problem. But suddenly some people take some hostages and they, you know, are in a house and they have caught people. So then the special rules apply. Then suddenly the police will cordon it off. Even if you live there, you're not allowed to go to your house. They say there is no rights. At that time, you don't own your house. They can go into your house. And if from that house, if they can shoot those criminals, they have the right to do that. So samanya dharma and vishesh dharma. So here he's telling Arjuna that yes, there was a normal duties you had, but now it is a vishesh, it is a special situation where all the old rules no longer apply. Whatever the rules were, they no longer apply to this situation. So you need to do it differently. And if you abandon your duty, suppose you have been trained from childhood, you were trained to be a warrior. You were, first of all, born in a kshatriya family. Oh, by the way, this kshatriya is not somebody who is born, but somebody by temperament. Like we have so many examples of great leaders who were born in ordinary families. Ambedkar, he was born in a lower class, but he was one of the main drafters of the Indian constitution. Mahatma Gandhi was also not a kshatriya. He was born in a Vaishya family, but he became a great leader. So kshatriya or leader is not by birth, but it is by temperament, by your nature. So Arjuna, you were not only by nature you are a warrior, but you are also born in a kshatriya family. And from childhood you have been trained to shoot, you have been trained to be a soldier. And now when the country needs you, the country has spent all this time and money, for example, a soldier whom you train for years, and suddenly when war breaks out, he says, I am not going to fight. When the enemy is at the door, at the border, the soldier has to go. You cannot at that time say, I am a peace loving. Either you should have decided before joining the army. But once you have joined the army, then it is your duty. And if you do not perform the duty, Arjuna, suppose you go to the forest, and you say, I'm not going to fight. I'm going to put on orange clothes and go to the forest because Sannyas is better than fighting. So I'll be a peace-loving person. Okay, you go to the forest. But will you be happy? No, you will be all the time thinking, I had that opportunity. You know, Duryodhana, that wicked king, he did so much to my family. He's so bad for the country. I had the chance to fight him and I ran away. Right now you are thinking, but 6 months or a year from now, you will have, and then your warlike vasanas are not exhausted yet. See, the vasanas can only be exhausted by doing your duty honestly, sincerely. Suppose I am born with a particular vasana, say to work, or I am born with a particular vasana to create, or a particular vasana to earn money. I can do those honestly, sincerely in serving society. That's the way to exhaust the vasanas. But if the same vasana is either not done, as we said, for a student, or if the vasana is done selfishly, then all you're doing is strengthening it. So if you run away, all you're going to do is abandon your duty, but your warlike vasanas will not go away. It can only go away if you fight a just war and fight it without eye and mind, dedicated to the Lord and for the benefit of the country. So what will happen? You will be so angry at Duryodhana, but Duryodhana won't be there, Karna won't be there. So you will take a sword and chop off all the trees. So you will create an environmental havoc when you are in the forest. Why? Or you will be shooting innocent birds and shooting animals because you could not. So do your duty and do what you are good at. And that is very important. We all need to know what we are good at. For example, a thief comes and robs my house and I see him running away with some valuables. I'm not going to go chase him, but that will be foolish. If I go chase after him, he might have a gun, he might have other gang members. Now I just call 911 because that's not my field. I'm not here to catch criminals. Say if I'm a doctor or an engineer or a housewife, that's not my job. Yes, money is gone, but instead of running after him, I call 911 and leave it because that's what I am good at. I am not good at chasing criminals. Somebody else is good, let him do that job. Or, for example, a person goes in the army and he's appointed in the army and he's trained and then they put him in a desk job. He's all the time shuffling papers. I didn't join the army to shuffle papers. For that, you need to bring a secretary. If I'm in the army, I need to be on the front. Or somebody is in the FBI. And you post him where? In a small village in Ohio, you know, where there's like 250 people and there's no crime. You say, I'm an FBI officer. I was trained as an FBI. You're putting me in New York or put me in Chicago where my talents can be used. So similarly, your talents, Arjuna, are to protect the good. And the war you are fighting is for Dharma. That's why Yudhishthira's another name was Dharma Raja. His older brother, who was the one who was the leader, he was always stood for Dharma. So your brother always stood for Dharma. Your whole family has always stood. So at this moment, if you run away, you will be violating your duty, your Swadharma. So that's why you should not waver. So here we have talked about what is my duty. And what was Arjuna's duty at that time? Again, to repeat, this is not a book of war. It is a book of duty. Arjuna had that duty at this time. What is my duty? That's I have to get from this Bhagavad Gita. That where I am, in whatever station, whether I'm a man or a woman or young or old or child or mother or brother or sister, what is my duty? That's what the Gita teaches us. So do that to the best of your ability.
Horrible.
Again, I think capital punishment has its pluses and minuses. Yes, some people are horrible, but then in the process of capital punishment, it is also unequally applied.
Right.
It more minorities get the capital punishment, even though the number of criminals may be the same, but a person from a minority has a more chance of being. So if the capital punishment A is not equally applied, secondly, there have been instances where the innocent has been has been killed or shot. So that's why capital punishment is something that has to be, you know, very carefully discussed and applied. And there are pros and cons to everything. There are some people who cannot be redeemed, and they say they are better off, you know, putting them away rather than putting them in prison for life. But they say a capital punishment costs much more because of the amount of appeals and the legal expenses. So even though the person may be only in jail for 10 or 12 years and then ultimately killed, but his cost is so much more than a person who has been in prison for 30, 40 years. So there are pros and cons to everything. But here it was because he was a warrior. So the question was, he was fighting a war where not killing somebody who deserves to be killed is as much a sin as killing somebody who does not deserve to be killed. Yeah.
But if we're called for jury duty,
yes,
and we happen to get, you know, on a case where the, you know, at the very beginning when the jury is being chosen, they will ask the people, you know, do you believe in capital punishment? And you have to make a decision. So that's almost a moral decision.
Yes. Yes, so again, what is your inner voice telling you? You have to, that has to be the answer. I do or I do not. And then if this ultimately comes to it, and if you're totally against capital punishment, and if it's a murder trial, then you can say that I am not against capital punishment, and I definitely will not, and maybe the prosecutor will then excuse you from the jury. So that's a choice you have to make. And you have to be prepared when you go with your answers, because they will ask you that.
I know. You know, if there's something in the evidence that doesn't convince me that he actually did that. I know. It just seems
like
a moral decision.
It's a moral decision what you believe in. And same thing, when you go in for jury duty, you go in with an open mind that this person is innocent until proven guilty, instead of just judging him based on his race or color or appearance, or if he has a lot of tattoos and earrings and all those things, then you say, this guy looks like a drug dealer. He's probably bad anyway. So yes, that's what happens when we preconceive notions, you know. So one has to have an open mind. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत्। शांति 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 ही। हरि ही ओम। श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ही ओम।